I pray that your time in your small group studies went well. It was a wonderful lesson. So many truths in that Sunday school lesson. If you've got your bulletin, let's crack it open there. There's a couple things I want to point out. Got a lot of announcements to make today. If I skip anyone that someone has given me this morning, please remind me. I'll correct that. Quick reminders, we will have our business meeting following our regular scheduled corporate worship this morning. So I would encourage you to stay for that. Also, just a quick reminder, next Sunday morning is Promotion Sunday. And so what that is, just in case some of you all don't know, you didn't think I was going to remember it, did you, Christy? What that is next week is when our kids get promoted to the next class, right? And so we try to make a big deal out of this. We have certificates to hand out. And so if your kid is being promoted to another class, man, we really encourage you to be here next week so we can celebrate them moving forward in their journey and learning more about Scripture and moving on to other Sunday school classes. Also, hey, man, well, we were at an event yesterday, and, you know, Melissa and I are always inviting people to church, and I pray that you all are doing the same thing. And Melissa used a tagline that I was like, I gotta remember that. It's like, man, if you're looking for an activity to come to church, tonight is the activity to come to. Tonight is the night to invite people to church as we get together and we have our ice cream social, making homemade ice cream, coming together, have a fellowship, which is good and right. But the main thing is we're going to be praying for our kids and our teachers and their staff as they enter into another school season. And so, man, we really would enjoy you all joining us tonight for that. Of course, the prayer pals, it's a big thing that we've been doing here for a while. I think it's a wonderful thing. My kids have benefited from this ministry, and we're continuing that. Mandy wanted me to let you know we are not like the IRS. If you didn't fill one out, it's still okay. You can fill it out today. Even though we gave you a deadline, if you missed it, no one's upset about that. If you didn't get a chance to fill one out for you or your kid, it's still out there. Fill that out, get it to us. Mandy will get that sorted. Also, man, I got a message from Mandy earlier in the week, and she's given me some things to remind people of, and Mandy doesn't know how much this next announcement excited me, is that there's going to be a lot of names that some of you all don't know who it is. You're like, I've never seen that kid's name before. I don't know who that is. That is exactly what these prayer partners are for. It's for you to get a name of maybe you don't know to now maybe you can form a relationship with that young person, and then you can get to know their parents. It is the exact reason why we do this. And so, man, I encourage you, if you see a name you're not sure who that is, there's nothing wrong with picking up a name you don't know so then you can get to know that person. But, man, be here tonight. Be ready to get these kids, quote-unquote, adopted. It's going to be a really good evening. And, man, I know if ice cream can't get you to come to church, then, man, that's it's a real stretch, right? So be here tonight for that. It's a good thing. You've also seen that if someone else would like to make some ice cream, that's fine, too. Bring it. We'll find a spot for you to stand up there, too, and serve your ice cream. So bring it if you want to, right? Melissa and I, we have to go get our stuff after church, but we'll have it here. We'll be ready for that. You see there the 13th of August, right? DBC serves at Meeting the Needs, two opportunities, 9 from 12, 6 to 8. If you'd like to serve that, I can promise you they will find something for you to do out there. Also, you'll see, now this is the 18th, this is a big deal too, right? We wanted to give this some time so you all could make your times and your calendars for this. But August the 18th, on that Sunday night, right, we're going to pause on our normal, our study that night, and we're going to come together and we're going to have what the military calls is an after-action report on VBS. We're going to discuss what went well, what maybe we could improve upon. We're going to come together and just have a conversation of how to always have this mindset of continuing to improve what we do to serve the Lord, right? But let me just give you a framework of what this isn't. This isn't a come and complain-a-thon, right? We're not trying to create that, right? If you come with something and you're like, man, we could do this better, also come with a solution to that. Now, that doesn't mean we're going to do your solution, right? But at least have an idea of how you think we can make this better, and let's talk about it. But we want to do this. Courtney is very on board with this, and so, man, make time for that 18th. Man, we always want to be improving for the Lord. We always want to be doing better. Be there for that. All right, 25th, we'll be having our Lord's Supper. That'll be next Sunday. That is the 25th. Is that next Sunday? whatever, whenever it is, the 25th is when we're going to do it, right? Thank you, Bobby. Be preparing your hearts for that. Quick reminder from Peggy, Joyce, and Carol is that now is the time to be buying school supplies to put in your Owen County or your Operation Christmas Child boxes, your shoe boxes that we're going to be doing. I was shocked when I went with Molly to buy some school supplies, how cheap some things were. I was kind of shocked how expensive some things were, too. But, I mean, it's crazy right now. I mean, they're almost like giving things away to kind of get you there. So, man, go stock up. Buy a bunch of extra things to throw in these shoe boxes. Very useful to these kids from wherever they're going to arrive. The Lord knows where they're going to be, right? Also, continuing to remind you, as Miss Carolyn continues to have good days and bad days, as she's continuing to improve, you see there's a number there. Miss Carolyn would love to have visitors. She would love to have you come and visit her, but we need to kind of schedule that to make sure that it's a good day. And so you see a number there to text. Don't call that number. She won't answer it, but if you text it, she will respond to kind of get that set up for you. All right. Two other things that I also wanted to mention, and I missed them last week, and I apologize for that, is, man, when you all leave, I encourage you to look at the museum window. Look how great it's decorated, right? It looks really good. I was like, oh, my gosh. As someone who has the artistic ability of a potato, I'm so appreciative of these windows. And then also, Rita fixed a bulletin board to remind the kids that you're to go back to school and to shine your light for Jesus. And so we've got these wonderful artistic people that are using the talents that God has given them with to spread some joy. Man, I know a lot of times you're in a hurry. Maybe you've got Brad, a Sunday school teacher, and you're late getting down here. That's a joke, Brad, right? And so you fly by the museum window. But, man, go out there and take a look at that museum window and those bulletin boards. Appreciate what these lovely ladies are doing, right? Also, we have some birthdays to celebrate. We got Creesha's birthday. There we go. Very exciting. All right. I think we got Driston's birthday as well. There we go. Then we have Colin's birthday, celebrating, I don't know what year, we're celebrating that. I also got Andrew Perry's birthday, exciting. He's going to act like it didn't happen. And so, again, the reason we do that, and thank you all for clapping that, is, man, we are a family, and we want to celebrate these family things together. We want to understand how blessed we are to have brothers and sisters in Christ with one another. And, man, and we really just want to look for opportunities to love on one another. And celebrating birthdays and anniversaries is a good opportunity to do that. And I pray that you guys enjoy that as much as I do. But you're going to enjoy something even better is right now we're going to become producers of worship and we're going to lift up our voices to the Lord as our musicians begin to get our hearts ready to hear God's word. Let me pray for us. Dear God, I want to thank you for today. Lord, I just thank you for this church, that this is just a church that they have a good understanding of how much you love them. It's just it's a simple equation. If we can grasp as much as our brains will allow us that you love us, it can do nothing. I thank you for all the opportunities you have given us, you are giving us, and will give us in the future to serve this world. Lord, just thank you for all those opportunities. And I'm just so thankful for this time you give us right now to gather as one body, to do the best as we can to set aside the distractions of our day and of our week. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.
Well, good morning. What a pleasure it is to be here with you this morning and worship our Lord. Let us stand. And let us sing songs to our Lord Jesus.
When the trumpet of the Lord shall sound and time shall be no more, and the morning breaks eternal bright and fair, and the road are on the other shore, and the road is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the road is called up yonder, when the road is called up yonder, when the road morning when the dead in Christ shall rise and the glory of his resurrection share. And the road is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the road is called up yonder, when the road is called up yonder, when the road the us labor for the master from the dawn till setting sun. Let us talk of all his wondrous love and care. And when all of life is over and our work on earth is done, and the road is gone up yonder, I'll be there. When the roar is caught of yonder, when the roar is caught of yonder, when the roar is caught of yonder, when the road is caught of yonder, I'll be there.
Also let us do
crown him with many crowns, the Lamb upon his throne. Hark how the soul and sing of him who died for thee, and hail him as thy matchless king through all eternity. Crown him the Lord of life, who triumphed o'er the grave, who rose victorious to the strife for the he came to save. His glories now we sing, who died and rose on high and lives that death may die. Crown him the Lord of peace, whose power scepter sways. From pole to pole, that wars may cease, and all be prayer and praise. His reign shall know no end, and round his pierced feet, fair flowers of paradise extend their fragrance ever sweet. Crown him the Lord of love, behold his hands and side. Those wounds yet visible above, in beauty glorified. All hail, Redeemer, hail, for thou hast died for me. Thy praise and glory shall not fail throughout eternity.
The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down. So let us sing.
Worthy of every song we could ever sing. Worthy of all the praise we could ever bring. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe, we live for you. Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever save. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe, we live for you. Oh, we live for you. Holy, there is no one like you. There is none beside you. Open up my eyes in wonder and show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to those around me. Worthy of every song we could ever sing. Worthy of all the praise we could ever bring. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe, we live for you. Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever save. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe, we live for you. beside you. Open up my eyes in wonder and show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to those around me. And holy, there is no one like you. There is none beside you. Open up my eyes in wonder and show me. I will build my life upon your love. It is a firm foundation. I will put my trust in you. Shaken, I will build my life upon your love. It is a firm foundation. I will put my trust, and I will not be shaken. Hold and show. Fill me with your heart. There is none beside you. Open up my eyes in wonder and show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to those around.
To our Lord.
A river attend. My way when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well, it is well. With my soul, it is well, it is well with my. Though Satan should buffet, though trials should come, let this blessed assurance come. That Christ has regarded my helpless estate and has shed his own blood for my soul. It is well with my soul, with my soul. It is well, it is well with my soul. My sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought. My sin not in part, but the whole is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord. It is well.
Pray for them in their time of study. And, you know, I really hope that you guys are holding them accountable as well, and that you're following up with them. And when you pick them up, and we really want you to pick them up, when you pick your kids back up, he's like, nope, it ain't happening. And then when you pick your kids back up, that you ask them what they studied and what they learned. There is nothing, they are not too young, even those littlest ones. If they can walk, they can do this. They're not to be accountability. Like, we need to learn how to listen. We need to know that someone is going to follow up and like, hey, what did you talk about today, right? I think it's a good and important thing to do, and I hope that you guys are doing that. We wrap up today the disciples' prayer. We find ourselves, if you have your Bibles, you can go ahead and be turning to Matthew chapter 6, verse 13. We wrap it up today. I pray that you've enjoyed this disciples' prayer as much as I have. I know that, you know, one of the things that as a church is kind of the recipient of a pastor's study and understanding. And man, I have learned and grown a lot in this walk through the disciples' prayer. And man, I'll encourage you all this, and I will always beat this drum. And man, it is okay if you have a different opinion of this. That's totally fine. I do not take it personal. But man, this is why we walk slowly through Scripture, because there's just so much there to learn and discuss. We're not trying to speed read through this. There's no certificates for reading your Bible the fastest, or at least I don't have any to hand out to you. So, man, I really encourage you to always, I want to start off with some statistics this week. You guys know I love stats. But in America, the security industry is booming. I mean, $45 billion are spent annually just on personal security. Right? That involves security cameras for your homes. That involves different software you put on your computer. It is an industry that has just taken off. And when you break it down, the average American spends about $424 a year on some type of security system. Now, some of you don't have it because you trust your neighbors. Others of you have it because maybe you don't trust your neighbors as much as others, right? We have one at our house, and we just like to know who's pulling in our driveway. We've had things disappear before, and we just like to know who pulls in our driveway. Not that we've ever done anything about it, but we just like to know. Now, that number doesn't even begin to scratch the security systems that are implemented for identity theft. This has hit home for me this week. I got an alert at the beginning of the week that my social security number has found its way onto a dark website, and my two credit card companies had reported to me, and they're like, hey, heads up, someone's going to steal your identity very soon. And so you have to go and you have to file this thing and say, hey, if someone opens a credit card within the next year in my name, block it, don't let it go through. The interesting stat on that is $50 billion is estimated to be lost annually to identity theft, right? People taking your identity. I remember one year, Melissa and I, we had our tax return stolen because someone had our Social Security numbers, and we filed our taxes, and our CPA said, I got bad news for you. And I was like, how bad can it be? I was like, we're doing, they're like, someone's already filed taxes for you. And I was like, well, it wasn't us, right? And so that took about 8 months to resolve. I had to go in front of a judge and prove who I am. And I'm like, trust me, man, no one wants to be me besides me, right? And so security is an important thing. And I think we can all agree to that. And what we come to today as we wrap up the disciples' prayer is we come to the security portion of this prayer. Let me read it for us, and then we're going to take some time digging into it. God's word says this, and lead us not. Dear God, I want to thank you for today. Lord, just so thankful for Dallas, the fact that they're willing to come here on a Sunday morning and make time to gather as the church, alongside brothers and sisters in Christ. I know that there are a bunch of other things many people could be doing this morning, but they're being obedient and they're choosing to gather as the church. And so, Lord, that is not lost upon me, and I know it's not lost upon you. And so just want to be thankful for that. Want to be thankful for mothers and fathers that have to. Lord, it's a wonderful thing, and I'm thankful for it. Also thankful for your word as we wrap up this morning, this disciples' prayer, and that we've learned what it saw, the sovereign, uncreated creator of the universe, and how we should be giving praise and thanks to you. And with inside that frame, we thank you for a reminder of who you are. We sang them this morning in so many of those wonderful hymns. I would encourage all of us to just pay attention that just pray that as we end today with this disciples' prayer that we're able. And so I'll also, this might be a good thing, it could be a bad thing. This is the shortest amount of notes that I've produced in a long time, right? So I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing for you all. We'll see. Let me know later. But really, this isn't complicated. This isn't really difficult. We don't need a ton of commentaries. We don't need to read a lot of other theologians to really get to the understanding of verse 13. Now, there is some time. I do want to spend a little bit of time discussing the word temptation, right? For us in our modern times, we hear the word temptation, and it's always negative, right? But what's really interesting when we look at the Greek word here is paramosis. It can be translated two ways. It can be translated as tempted, or it can be translated as tested. And this is something that I love and enjoy talking about, people, is that God tests, Satan tempts. Testing is always viewed the way you're thinking, like, well, how in the world do these translators, how do they know when to use the word test and to use the word tempt when it's the same word? Well, it's like Jimmy can for sure tell you as a realtor, realty is about location, location, location. Scripture is about context, context, context. And so we know to translate this word as tested when God is doing it, and we know to translate the word as tempted when Satan is doing it, right? And so if you want some examples of that, let me give you some. Genesis 22:1, this is tested. This is the word here used in the positive way. After these things, God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, here I am. And this is, of course, the story when God tests Abraham, and he says, well, you know, we want you to sacrifice your son. And he's like, what? Like, this is what we've prayed for all this time. And he was like, hey, I'm testing you. And he goes and he gets everything ready, and he's getting ready to commit the sacrifice, and God stops him. He's testing him to know, man, Abraham is in it. Like, he's the real deal. He's willing to lay his son and bind him up and put him on an altar. He's willing to do it. I know he can go out and be the father of the Jewish nation, and we see in Scripture that he does that, right? Let me give you a negative example. We did this recently, Matthew chapter 4, verse 1. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be what? Tempted by the devil. Now, of course, this is the story of where Jesus is taken out, and he's tempted three different times by Satan, and he's trying to deceive him. Remember, that's what I love, the translation of the word Satan as deceiver, This is what Satan is a master at. He is a master of lies. He deceives you. He convinces you of other things. He convinces you it can't be that bad, or God wouldn't really do that to you. And it's in complete opposition to what Scripture teaches. He is the great deceiver. And so it's important to understand the difference between testing and tempting. Very important, and so important that James, the half-brother of Jesus, the early church called him James the Just. He had a large character, a big reputation. He clearly spells this out to us as he's writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. James chapter 1, verse 13, he says this: "Let no one say when he is tempted, 'I am being tempted by God.' For God cannot be tempted by evil, and he himself tempts no one." And so where do our temptations come from? James tells us this also. It comes from where? Our own evil desires. Our desire to covet. Our desire to have. Our desire to have what someone else has that looks cooler than ours. That's where our temptations come from. And so, man, if you leave here today and you really leave with nothing else, man, I really pray you leave with this simple understanding, is that God is not tempting you. Right? When you walk, and you guys are going to hear some personal testimony from me today about temptation. It's a thing for all of us, right? When I walk into a donut shop, I really enjoy donuts. Like, I can crush some donuts. When I walk into a donut shop, and I was like, oh, man, it smells good. What they got? Right? That's not God telling me, Michael, get the cream-filled donut. You know what's your favorite? No, that's my sinful desires trying to convince me that that donut is going to make me feel better, or going to make me feel like I don't have any stress right now. Right? That's coming from me. The truth is this: we are the problem. Right? God is never the problem. It's our sinful desires, our sinfulness, that causes the problems. And so when you come to this word in Scripture, I'd really hope that you understand that when God tests you, it's a positive thing, because he's proven your faith. He's strengthening you. He's allowing a trial to happen to you. Why? To refine you, to burn off impurities, to make you purer, to make you stronger. So he tests you in a positive way, but Satan is always tempting you in a negative way. Satan is always trying to get you to fall, to stumble, to do something that is not glorifying to God. I think Peter says it most perfectly in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. He says this: "Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour." And God doesn't want to devour you. God wants you to live a life that's glorifying to him, right? He wants you to live a wonderful life, biblically standard-wise, not worldly standard, but he wants you to live a wonderful life. Satan, and so a question that comes up quite often is like, why do we need to even pray against temptations, right? Man, temptations are a really interesting thing for us to think about. I thought a lot about temptations this week, and one of the things that just really, in Scripture, you know, helps bear this out, is temptations are not easily applied to everyone, right? What tempts someone is of no problem for someone else, right? For example, you may have known people that are literally addicted to the gym, right? They live for it. They go to it. They won't miss it for anything. That has never been a temptation for me a day in my life. I've never been like, Lord, keep me from the gym today. You got to slow me down. That's never been a temptation for me. And so I guess what I'm trying to help us understand here is that when you see a brother and sister maybe stumble, or you know of a temptation they have, man, don't be so judgmental on that and be like, how in the world could they be addicted to that? It's just as easy for them to say, how in the world could you be addicted to this? And so we got to be careful in that. An analogy I have for you in this is that many of you know, in my previous career, I worked for the state police, and I had access to, you know, tons of evidence. Like, I've helped carry in bales of marijuana. You know how a lot of you have baled straw and baled hay and put it up? I've carried in bales of marijuana that I'm like, dude, how many bales did they have? And just stacked them up. Never once was there a temptation to take a little bit of that. You could take this table down here and you could stack it for every drug and every pill and everything's known to man. It is of no temptation to me whatsoever. You put some cheesecake and maybe Anne's pineapples down there. Now I got a problem, right? I'm tempted by food. Food is a temptation for me. Illegal drugs are not a temptation for me. Alcohol is not a temptation for me. And that's nothing within me. Praise God that that's not a problem for me. But we all have something that tempts us. We all have something that Satan wants to whisper in that ear and be like, he's trying to use that. And why is Satan trying to use that? So he's trying to use it so when you do stumble and you do give into that temptation, that he can then whisper in the other and lie even more and tell you, you're worthless now. God can't use you anymore. And that's just a flat out lie. What does Scripture say? God is glorified in what? Our weaknesses. Because people are able to see, man, if God can love someone like me and God can then use me to spread his wonderful thing, you are not worthless. You have immense value to God, so much so you were made in his image. And so this is why temptations are dangerous. This is why we need to pray about temptations, is because then Satan gets a toehold. We also have to be careful about this. And this is one of the things that frustrates me about the world and frustrates me about just people's ideas. It's just one cheesecake. Now, I know some of y'all talking, you're tempted by pieces. I'm tempted by entire cakes. Like, I could eat an entire cake, no problem. You guys are like, what? Easy. I could eat a whole cake, right? And so I'm not tempted by pieces. I'm tempted by cakes, right? And so God's like, or Satan's like, oh, man, what could it hurt? It's just food. No, it's a problem because I'm trying to find my joy in a piece of cake or a cake, right? That's where I'm looking for my joy instead of understanding where does my joy come from? It comes from the Lord. And this is why temptations are dangerous. And I think this is why Christ clearly puts this in there, is that he understands how full of problems this can be. And again, let me just tell you this, and I know when we get together as a church, man, we have an entire spectrum of sanctification. Some of you all are maybe just walking the path, and some of this stuff is brand new to you. Some of you have been walking with the Lord 50, 60 years, and what a glorious thing that is. Never fool yourself that temptation's not there at the back door knocking. It's always there. Do not turn a blind eye to it. Do not be like, well, man, I'm tempted by nothing. Not true. Scripture clearly says that. And now maybe you've become a lot better than some of us at saying no to that temptation. Praise be to God. Question. All right, so we continue. You know, why is temptation so bad? Because of sin. The psalmist tells us in chapter 15, verse 4, this is what God thinks of sin. In whose eyes a vile person is despised. And so God despises sin. He hates sin. It's the exact opposite of who he is. He can't stand it. But who honors those who fear the Lord, those who reject their sin and repent from it and try to get better, who swears of his own hurt and does not change, this is who God loves and cherishes. And so that's what I was saying earlier. Man, never fall into that. It's not cute. It's not funny. It's not something to be like, oh, never cute. It's never funny. And the problem is, sin is like that. You know, I grew up on Looney Tunes cartoons, so that's a lot of my analogies, right? It's that snowball that stops at the heel, and you pack it in, and it fits in your hand. By the time it gets to the bottom of the hill, it's a huge boulder, right? The second reason we should pray against temptation is that sin gets us in trouble. It creates grief in our life. It causes the problem in our horizontal relationships, like why we don't get along sometimes. It's because of sin, right? We have issues, right? The tricky part of sin is that sin does have a power in the fact that it's persuading. It tries to convince you that the sin will make you happy. And then temptation is the prospect of, well, that will make me even happier. What we as Christians have to understand, I tell myself this on a very consistent basis, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9, but he said to me, what? My grace is sufficient for you. For my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weakness so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. You want a simple solution of how you resist temptation? Understand that Christ's grace is sufficient for you. Right? The cheesecake is not going to make you, it's not sufficient for you. Right? The cheesecake didn't pay for my sins, right? Whatever your temptation may be, maybe you're, some of y'all are exercising. That's an extreme one, right? But whatever your temptation is, it is not sufficient. There's only one thing that has guaranteed your time of spending eternity in the presence of the Lord through faith in Christ, and it's Christ. That is what's sufficient for you. You sang about it this morning. As he goes to the cross and as his blood is shed for you, that is the only thing sufficient for you. Do not fall victim to the devil whispering in your ear, tempting you, telling these other things will make you happier, will make you feel better. Now, and some of you are thinking, well, you know what, Michael? When I do this or I do that, it feels good. Again, the problem is you, because you haven't accepted and understood how great it feels to be a forgiven sinner. Of the weight that is lifted off your shoulder, the fact that you don't have to walk around anymore. I was telling someone this morning, I forget who I was talking to, maybe it was JT, and we talked about it this morning in your Sunday school class with Jonathan. I hate to be the guy in between two friends that aren't getting along. Right? And they're telling you this and they're telling you that. I cannot stand to be in that position. And right, and so you're like, man, if I could just get out of this position, I would feel happier. The truth is this, you will never be as joyful as you can ever be in your life other than removes this guilt. It removes this fear you have in your life, right? And so quite often I will talk to people, and I've thought this myself, it's like, man, my temptation is just too great. Like, I can't fight this anymore. It's just too big. I'm too weak. Well, good news for us, right, is we have Scripture to help with this. Romans chapter 8, 31, what shall we say of these things? Man, if there's a piece of Scripture you should memorize, this would probably be in the top five. What then shall he say for these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Like, what does that mean? It means simply this, is you are on the winning team if you are a Christian, right? Christ has already overcome the world. He's overcome death. He's overcome sin. They put him on a cross and they tried to kill him. They stuck him in a tomb. They're like, well, man, this is over. Guess what? 3 days later, I'm right back, brother. Here I am. Here I am. You can't even kill me because I am one with the Father. The Father is one with me. I have overcome this. And so when we struggle with our temptations and we struggle with hardships, we need to remember this simple thing. If God is for us, who do we care is against us? We don't. Because Christ sits right now at the right hand of Father in what? In victory. We're on the winning team. Continuing, 1 John chapter 4, verse 4, little children. Notice how John always calls the church little children. It's because he loves them. That's a sign of endearment. He loves them. Little children, you are from God and have overcome them, for he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. That's important, man. Don't sleep on this right here. Let me read it for you again. Little children, you are from God and have overcome them, for he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. So what is he saying? Those of us who have the indwelling of Christ, that have the Holy Spirit, right? We can overcome these temptations because what? Christ is superior to Satan who exists in the world. And so, man, I have to have this conversation with people on a pretty regular basis. You're not a victim. Stop being a victim. Stop having this victim mentality of poor, pitiful me. Everyone's out to get me. The truth is this. If you are a follower of Christ, you are victorious. You don't have to be a victim. You're not a victim. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. And church, man, I would just encourage you to think about this. Like, I don't know your hearts. Only God and you know your heart. You could sit here for 50 years and act like a Christian, and I'll believe you're a Christian, but you may be disobedient in your heart and not trusting in Christ. I encourage you to think through this. Do you believe that Christ's grace is sufficient for you? For my power is made perfect in weakness, therefore I will boast more gladly in my weakness so that my power of Christ may rest upon me. You're like, you read that twice. You're right, I did read it twice. I'm glad you're paying attention. I'm reading it twice. You need to understand. This is the way we overcome these temptations, is by understanding that Christ's grace is sufficient for you. Now, I want to give you a little testimony of myself. I think it's not lost upon some of you. Some of you, it's not hard. No one here probably thinks I shop in the petite section of anything, right? No one's like, "Ooh, I don't know if Michael can find something that's small enough to fit him," right? It's just the reality, right? You guys can laugh at that. It's okay. Like, it's okay. I don't take it personal. About 6-7 months ago, man, I got super convicted on a sermon about self-control. And I was like, man, it's going to be hard for people to see someone that looks like me stand up here and talk about self-control when it's obviously I have a problem with it. I'm not ashamed to admit that. I'm not ashamed to share with you all this morning. Food is a temptation of mine. So I'm going to give you some practical advice of what I did with that. I got 4 or 5 guys. I don't know why I didn't tell any girls. There's no reason for that, but I told 4 or 5 guys. And I said, hey, man, I'd like to ask you all to pray for me in this. It's obvious I have a problem with it. I'm going to be my part. I'm going to do what I can. And so I was really hoping this number would be higher, but I'm here to tell you right now, I've lost 48 pounds because of those people's prayers, right? Now, have I still enjoyed a cheesecake? Absolutely, every now and then. Not a whole one, right? I don't eat whole ones anymore, right? I got really excited when I saw Ann's pineapples yesterday. I was like, I'm eating some of those. I do not care, right? And so, but what I have learned and what the Spirit has forced upon me and has pressured upon me is that I have to do my part too. I have to fight. I have to resist. I have to tell myself every day that Christ is sufficient. Man, I ain't gonna lie to you, that food tastes good in the moment. Like, we're gonna have a homemade ice cream tonight. I can't eat a whole canister of homemade ice cream. I think I would die, but I can eat a lot. And so what do I do tonight? I'll have to take a little testing and I'll stop. I won't eat as much as I know I want to. Why? Because Christ, and it's going to be hard to get up here and to preach and to be an example. Like, I don't want to be known as the pastor who taught, do as I say, but not as I do. I want to be able to do it as well. Now, and again, I'm not where I want to be. I mean, the truth is this, I've gone from morbidly obese to just obese. I think that's okay, Terry. I'm moving in the right direction, right? But I'm working on it, and I would encourage you all this too. You might be sitting here this morning and be like, man, I feel bad for Michael. His temptations are bad. Man, I encourage you to pray about yours as well. I encourage you to, maybe you've become blind to your temptations. And you're like, man, I was like, whew, I've overcome that. Be careful. I would encourage you to pray, God, continue to impress upon me how important your grace is and how it's sufficient. And then give me the strength to do what I can do in that as well. Right, I'm going to give you some more practical advice here, right? As a kid growing up, my favorite show was Dukes of Hazzard. Like, if my mom wanted to punish me and my brother, cut off the Dukes of Hazzard. Like, I would just wail if I didn't get to catch up on the Dukes of Hazzard. My second favorite show was Hee Haw, right? That's how country I am. Like, Hee Haw was number two. And I think about this all the time. You guys remember Doc Campbell? I know, Chrissy, you're like, what are you talking about? I know this is an old reference, but there's a country doctor on there. And a guy comes to him in his office, and he goes, Doc, I broke my arm in 2 places. He goes, simple, stay out of those 2 places. Next patient, right? There's some practicality there. Once you identify your sin, I also encourage you to talk to a brother and sister in Christ and share that with them and ask them to pray for you. You need a prayer partner? I'll do it. I will be your prayer partner, right? I'm not trying to get it nosy. I'm not trying to get in your business. You need help praying on this? I'll pray for you. I'm confident you got a whole church of people that'll pray for you as well in that. So number one, find you a prayer partner about your temptation. Practically also, there's a couple things you can see there. Who are you around when you slip into temptation? You're probably around a certain group of people. Probably ought to start avoiding those people for now, right? Until maybe you grow a little bit stronger in your faith. You need to stay away from those people. Where are you at when you fall into these temptations? Maybe you start avoiding those places, not spending as much time in those places. For example, if alcohol is your temptation, probably a bad idea to go hang out with your friends at a bar. Probably not a good place to be. Just practical things that I would share for you. And just to understand that it's Charles Spurgeon, you guys probably heard about him, Prince of Preachers. I'm a really big fan of his. One of his favorite quotes, and I got to give this quote a little bit of context, is that it used to be the learned language of scholars was Latin. Some of you are probably from a generation that maybe you learned a little bit of Latin in school. We talked about Latin last week when we read Braille's letter, Semper Fi. That's Latin for always faithful. And so it was the language of educated people. So Charles Spurgeon says this, learn to say no. It will be more use to you than being able to read Latin. And what he's saying there is like, verse 13 is not super complicated. We got to learn to say no. We got to learn to resist temptation. We got to learn to say no to Satan and yes to Christ. We got to learn to say yes to Christ. Your grace is sufficient. I love you and I'm thankful for you. Give me the strength, but also give me the ability to say no, to turn it to the side, to say no to these sinful desires in our lives. We have to learn that, because the wonderful thing is this, is man, Satan cannot take your salvation. Praise God, it's dangerous. And so this is one of the reasons we have to say no to that. And so I've been praying for you all week, and maybe some of my prayers were answered as I've been praying this week for you all to learn what your temptations are. To become better acquainted is like, man, this is a dangerous spot for me. Like, I should be careful with this. We talked about it Wednesday night. That's why we talked about it Wednesday night, right? It was just heavy on my mind. I've prayed that for you all this week. And I pray this, and this is where we'll close, is I pray that, man, you're able to see those weaknesses in you, but then you're able to reach out to others to ask them to pray for you. You're able to dig deeper in God's word, and you're able to learn better to say the word no. Let's pray. Dear God, I want to thank you for today. Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you for your truth. Lord, I just thank you for this discussion on temptation. And we understand that as this comes from Satan, it's a negative. And so, Lord, we want to fight those temptations. We want to say no. We want to build up practical safeguards in our life. We want to build up accountability partners. We want to learn to avoid places. We want to learn to avoid certain people at this phase in our life. And, you know, maybe when we become more sanctified and you grow us in this, that we can return to those people and share testimonies and share Christ with them. But initially, it's probably important to have some distance with those people. And Lord, we understand that our testimonies are important. We understand that we're to be doers of the word, not just sayers of the word. And so in order for us to do that, we have to say no to temptations, and we have to say yes to you. So Lord, continue to give us the strength to resist the evil one. Give us the ability. Lord, we know that Scripture tells us that you are victorious. We know that it says if you are for us, who can be against us? And Lord, we have to...
Let us stand and let us praise God.
God, from whom all blessings flow, praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
If you're going to respond today, you better be fast. You better get on down there when you see the doxology on there, right? Hey, don't worry. We don't have to do it right now. It's a wonderful thing. Again, just remind everybody, we are going to have a business meeting following our time. We'll give you some time to say hello and goodbye to some people, but we'll get back for this business meeting. Want to also give a real quick update. I know you guys are ready to get out of here. Had a chance to go see Carter again this week, and I'm telling you, it's amazing. We had a conversation. He was quick to tell me that my profile pic was the worst pic he'd ever seen. So some of y'all may have noticed I changed it to a picture of Carter and I. I'm like, well, maybe that'll pass his test, right? But he's doing well. I think that he will be back in our presence very soon if the Lord continues to bless him the way he's blessing him. And, man, I encourage you all to continue to pray for this, right? They continue to go through more and more, right? And they're going through some other stuff right now. And, man, pray for that. Continue to pray for them. And, man, look forward to seeing him back in worship very, very soon, right? JT, you close us in prayer.